Dave, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Do you mind if I mess with John Hansen a little bit?
No, I'd love it.
John Hansen's on the line. John, El Chapo found guilty. Take it.
I'll take it right from there. I thought I was going in for bridge talk. You got to be more supportive of the segments we plan.
All right.
Well, we were yesterday when we were on the air, it was about this time that Northbound Lakeshore Drive was closed. Steve Grzanich ran in here to see if he could see anything. There's a building in our way, and it turns out, as the pictures we have seen on the news and otherwise, there was a chunk of bridge that was missing and cracked.
Yeah, the steel plate, as we've been reporting, and they've been doing a great job, Mary, of course, as well, cracking on that northbound side. Now, we did a story for the JAMA, where I work at WCIU, where we kind of investigated and looked at how the bridges, the liftable bridges, work. And you guys were talking earlier about, are those staff? What sort of inspections do those get? It's important to note that this isn't the part directly over the river. The river, obviously, I think everyone's driven over Lakeshore Drive, where you actually have the movable bridge, and it sounds different on the car below you. It's the steel grated sort of thing, whether you're on upper or on lower Lakeshore Drive. This is a little bit south of there. This is still where it's that concrete ramp. But it was interesting to actually go into these bridge towers and see how these things are manned, operated, and how they go up and down during the lifts, and the many changes that have happened over the last 20 or 30 years with how often these things are lifted and looked at.
And is there someone that is in there? You said manned or womaned. Is there anyone that stays in those little towers on either side of the bridge?
No. So I have a few folks that I know. Well, my good friend Melissa over at the JAM, she knows a lot of bridge operators. And we talked to CDOT about this, too, that the bridges that we have downtown, so we've got 37, this number kind of fluctuates. We have more than 37 movable bridges, but many of them don't move as much anymore, if at all. And they just redid the bridge over Chicago Avenue, so they're reclassifying that. But the most movable bridges anywhere in the world are in Chicago. And up until the 70s and the 80s, there was someone in each of those towers 24/7. And up until 1995, the federal government and the Coast Guard mandated that they had a regulation that in case of an emergency or something had to move quickly, the city must have provided that 32 of the 37 bridges be able to be moved within 30 minutes. So essentially, they had a staff around the clock ready to move those things at a moment's notice. And starting in 1995, they changed all the regulations. It was just a lot of manpower or womanpower needed to staff all those all the time. And now, for the most part, all the bridge operators, who, by the way, work for CDOT, Chicago Department of Transportation, controls the bridges. Most of the bridge operators work in the canals, and they work where all the shipments come in from Canada, or they come to the St. Lawrence River, then into Lake Michigan. They drop off the salt on the southeast side of Chicago or northwest Michigan. That's where all the bridge operators are stationed for the 24/7. They only come up and go in those towers on the planned bridge runs when they lift them up for the sailboats, which are scheduled, you know, on the Wednesdays and the Saturdays in the spring and fall. So most of the time when you're walking by those bridges, unless it's during the bridge lifts, there's not someone in there.
What about the inspections, John? Do we know how often the rounds are that they inspect each of these bridges? Is it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly?
What I know is that the last records we have of an inspection of this area, of this particular bridge, was back in 2017. But I don't know specifically if they're looking, you know, more intensely, or, you know, you guys are mentioning the potholes and the freezes and the thaws back and forth, whether they're digging in and looking at them more often. They say that CDOT was the one to discover this. I don't know if it was on this routine inspection or, you know, someone drove over it and said, hey, we better call someone about this or what happened. But, you know, it's, when you kind of like zoom out here and we talk about infrastructure in the city and in Chicago, there's a lot of deficient bridges, self-admitted deficient bridges. In fact, federal records show that of the 1,700, so we're talking all the bridges, not only the ones over the river, of all the bridges in the county, 1,200 of inspections came back with worse records than the one on Lakeshore Drive. So 1,200 out of the 1,700 were labeled worse than the one that broke down sometime yesterday morning.
That's not that encouraging, John. I'll be honest with you.
No. It doesn't feel that good. No.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess you think the worst, like that bridge could have collapsed, but chances are it probably wouldn't have from that. They did close. Northbound Lakeshore Drive is still closed. But as Bill mentioned earlier, there's still cars going on lower Wacker / Lakeshore Drive. I would think that should be closed, too.
Well, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a bridge engineer, but my friend at the jam also knows a bridge engineer, and they're working on it. I imagine that they've, you know, at this point, now that the alarm has been sounded quite loudly here, that they're going to make sure that it is safe. Because I was on with Andrea last night, and I drove in, and I thought the same thing. I was expecting to be rerouted southbound at some point. I couldn't believe I was able to cross the bridge and get all the way to Wacker, and then do it again. So it makes you think twice. And you guys, I think one of your callers referenced it too last hour, the Minneapolis collapse, of course, on 35W, just horrifying. You know, we can all joke about it now because, of course, I was looking at talking to some experts who say, you know, we really lucked out in a way that this was what happened, that something like this happened before you see a large structural failure or a collapse of this thing.
And John, I mentioned earlier, especially in the case of the Minnesota Bridge collapse 5 years ago, everybody gets really upset about it for a week or two, and then it just kind of floats away. Is that going to happen here in Chicago? I know they're fixing the situation here, but are they really going to inspect the other bridges more closely to make sure that we don't have a disaster on our hands?
Well, we have such a short attention span for news these days, it seems like, because it all comes so quickly. And I hope not. I mean, I think infrastructure is probably the least political thing we could talk about.
Sure.
It's like the one thing that I feel like, whether you're on the left, you're on the right, everyone knows it, everyone admits it, it's just not sexy. It's really hard to run on platforms of infrastructure change. I think it's something we all know, but it's something that, you know, with the logjam of everything that else that happens politically, whether we're talking in the federal level, the state level, local level, it all kind of gets gummed up. I mean, they were talking about the deficiency with bridges and how much it would cost to kind of redo and reinspect and re-get up to code on some of these bridges. And the city's yearly budget shows, the most recent records that we have looked at, was that, I mean, you're talking, you need $7 billion. The city admits that it wants $7 billion to fix these bridges and only dedicated about $2 billion to the cause.
Wow.
Due to budget constraints. So we're clearly falling short locally. I know we're falling short at the state and federal level. And at some point, we're just, as taxpayers, going to have to pony up a lot of this. I mean, that's ultimately where it's going to have to come from, our own pockets.
The other thing to consider, and this is unpleasant, but the inconvenience of it. I know safety comes before inconvenience, but think about it. If major bridges along a thoroughfare like Lakeshore Drive are closed down, that messes with traffic for weeks or months or years.
Yeah, you're not even talking about just people driving over the bridges, but I know I have some friends that live in the the west side of Chicago. When that Chicago bridge was closed, and it's been closed for the past couple of months, I think it's opening up again this week or early next week, the Chicago bridge over the north branch of the river. I mean, you're talking about commute times doubling. There's just not many ways over the river. We've got a lot of bridges, but I can list, Chicago Division North as you're going north, and then you're going south, you got, 22nd and 31st? I mean, you don't have that many options to get over the river. So certainly these bridges over the river are a major issue, and it's not like there's a lot of room at the Jane Bird Interchange to fit more traffic through there. So, I mean, we're in a tight situation. It's just a matter of, I think that, you mentioned, are we going to move on from this sort of thing too quickly? It's a matter of, if this bothers you, these are the issues, these local bridge, these local roadway transportation, not sexy issues, that people have got to be just as vocal about the other ones if they are going to expect any change.
Right.
Be careful out there, everybody.
Yep.
John, thank
you for
checking
in. John, we appreciate it. John Hanson.
Yeah, good bridge talk. See you next
host
week for bridge
of the
talk.
Jam. His new book, The Bridges of Cook County, available wherever books are sold. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Take care.
You too. I shouldn't even be laughing at all. It's just kind of scary.
It is scary, and I know I said this morning, but think about what might have been. If nobody had noticed this thing, it would have been a disaster. So we're very, very fortunate. We dodged a bullet. Huge bullet. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more discussion. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.